So, merry, happy, I'm not sure what the term is, Palm Sunday. And today I'm going to share a very well-known story with you that if you've been in church for any length of time, I'm sure you've heard over and over and over again because it's what we do on Palm Sunday. But today I want to focus a little bit differently. But again, for background, for those of you who don't know the story, this takes place when Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem. And this is only 5 days prior to when he will be crucified. So this is very close to Jesus' crucifixion, and he is about to enter Jerusalem. Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead, and now he's headed to Jerusalem to be crucified. And we'll get into that as we go through this week, but I want to read the scripture passage today to you from Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to start in verse 1. If you have YouVersion open, you can follow there. If not, you have a Bible open, you can follow there. If you don't have that, you can check this out after. But believe me, I'm going to read you from the scripture this morning. Matthew 21. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in the highest heaven!" The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowd replied, "It is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." As I read this scripture this week and as I studied over the past couple of weeks, I realized we're dealing with basically two groups of people. We have the crowd and we have the disciples. We're going to focus today on the disciples, but we're going to start with the crowd. Now, the crowd is there as Jesus is entering on the donkey's colt. And they are excited. They were all praising Jesus. Well, most of them were praising Jesus. So there was a group of people that were questioning, "Who is this? How can you say this about him?" But for the most part, the crowd was excited. They were praising. They were singing. They were caught up in the uproar that was surrounded Jesus' entry into the city. As the scripture tells us, they were laying their garments on the ground. They were laying palm branches on the ground in front of him as a sign of worship. But the people were really caught up in a spectacle, in the euphoria of the moment. The moment. Understand that. They were caught up in a moment in time. And as I look at it, I believe that they were praising for all the wrong reasons. They were praising because of the moment that was taking place. I can say that with confidence today because it's the same group of people who less than a week later are then calling for Jesus to be crucified, or at least a portion of those people. You see, people can get caught up in a moment. I don't know if you've ever watched WWE wrestling. I don't watch it. I used to love it when I was a kid when it was called the WWF. And you see these people caught up in a spectacle that's going on around this wrestling ring for a fight that's not even real. And you see both sides of it, the people cheering for someone, the people cheering against someone. You watch any sporting event and you watch the crowd, you can see the same type of things happening. You see, people as individuals normally can be somewhat calm and passive, but you get people in a crowd, you get people in that moment, and they become euphoric. They become excited. They become exuberant. They cheer. You just have to sit at any sporting event and you'll see that. Unless you're looking at me, I'm not one of those loud cheerers or that type of person. I'd rather be exuberant in other places. But see, the crowd here is cheering and worshiping, but they really don't know Jesus. You see, the crowd, for the most part, probably would have heard of Jesus. Many would have heard about the miracles that he did. Some may have even heard him teach, whether it be on the Mount of Olives or any other of the number of places he taught. Some might have even witnessed miracles. And even though it's a short time ago, some may have heard about Lazarus' resurrection from the dead. But they really didn't know Jesus. They didn't know him the way the disciples knew him, which is the other group I want to talk about. Jesus' disciples, they knew him. They had spent 3 years with Jesus, traveling with him, watching his life. They knew him intimately. They had witnessed the miracles. They had participated with him in the miracles. And you say, how did they do that, Pastor Paul? Well, they did that through the feeding of the 5,000, for one. They were a part of the miracle, a big part of the miracle. And they participated. They learned. They also spent time at Jesus' feet learning as he taught them. You see, the disciples, unlike the crowd, knew Jesus in such an intimate way. And yet, if we read this passage, the John's writing of this passage in John chapter 12 and verse 16, it actually talks about the disciples still not fully understanding what Jesus was about to do. They still didn't fully understand Jesus. Let's look at that passage just for a second. If you don't trust what I'm saying, in verse 16 of John chapter 12, it says this. Straight out, his disciples didn't understand at the time that this was the fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Again, the disciples, even in all their knowledge of Jesus, in all the time they had spent with Jesus, they still didn't fully understand. And yet, they walked in faith. You see, Jesus, before that he enters the city, he tells two of his disciples to go into the village. Now, it doesn't say who the two disciples were. I tried to do research, and there's many, many different people with different opinions. There's no real proof. So we're going to say two disciples. I don't know names. I don't know if it was Peter and John, if it was Matthew, whoever it was. But he sent two of them, and he basically said, go over there. That's the title of the message today, by the way, is go over there. And if you take a moment to think about it, this would have been a really strange request. You see, the disciples knew Jesus, so they understood his request. But if they didn't know him, you would think Jesus was telling them to go steal a donkey and its colt. Think about that. Hey, guys, go over there into the town. And the first donkey and colt you see when you get there, I want you to untie them and take them and bring them to me. That sounds like stealing to me. Now, I'm not saying Jesus condoned stealing, and I'm not saying he told them to steal, because in his knowledge and his who he was as the Son of God, he knew the owner would give him the donkey and the colt, which is actually said in the scripture that we read this morning. But see, his disciples knew Jesus, because they had spent that time with him. So they knew he wasn't asking them to go steal. They knew that if he asked, there was a reason. They knew Jesus was the Messiah. Matthew 16 and 15 and 16, when Jesus asked the disciples, who do you think I am? Peter answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You see, they understood who Jesus was. And because they understood who Jesus was, they were able to step out in faith. and do what he was asking them to do. The disciples stepped out in faith. They went. They got the donkey. They were asked, "What do you need this for?" They gave the reply, the donkey and his colt were given to him. You see, the disciples thought and concentrated on what Jesus told them to do rather than their own thoughts. As I've been preparing this message this week, I've been preparing for Friday night with our young people, and we're doing a study by Francis Chan on finding truth. And Francis Chan, within about the first minute, maybe 30 seconds of the first video we're going to watch, he says something that it just blew me away. He said, if your thoughts or other people's thoughts that they're telling you don't come from this book, then they're a joke. His words, not mine. But see, the point he's making is our thoughts need to be based on who Jesus is and what Jesus said. Our thoughts need to be based on the roadmap, the guidelines that Jesus gave us. See, the disciples knew him intimately and knew him well enough to know if he said it, I need to do it. Oftentimes, we're not like that. We hear the voice of God, and we try to come up with our own excuses. We try to come up with our own thoughts on it. We hear the voice of God, and we try to, as we're reading the word, as we're talking with people, and we try to come up with an explanation, an excuse, an interpretation, so that we don't have to do what we're being called to do. But when we know his voice, we should be willing to step out in faith and respond. Again, I'm going to caution you here. If what you're hearing from God doesn't line up with the word, it's not from God. I say that every time I talk about hearing the voice of God. But if it doesn't line up with this book, it's not the voice of God. But how often do we listen to the voices of others that don't line up with this, and we decide to do that anyways? Again, the word tells us, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We need to listen to the thoughts of God and respond in faith the same way these disciples did when they were asked to go take this donkey. And I want to wrap up today with just this thought is, do you want to be the crowd or do you want to be a disciple? You see, there's many of us who go to church every Sunday, but are still living as the crowd. We live from worship experience one Sunday to worship experience the next Sunday to this move of the Holy Spirit to that move of the Holy Spirit. And we never really become disciples, some of us. You see, we live for the experience. We live for that moment. And that's not how Christ wants us to live. He wants us to know him intimately. We can't go from worship one Sunday to worship the next Sunday and never worship in between. We can't go from hearing the word of God this Sunday and then again next Sunday, but never reading it for ourselves in between. We need to live it out like the disciples lived it out. But we have a crowd mentality. We get excited when the Holy Spirit's moving. We're excited and we're on fire. We're run to the altar, get up. I'm all good. And then we walk out the door and we spend no time with Jesus until the next week. What's worse is when we're in a time like we are right now and things are tough. If we don't have that faith, if we don't have that relationship, we get lost. Much like the crowd did the week later when Jesus was called for his crucifixion. We need to be like the disciples. We need to spend time daily. So again, I ask, do you want to be the crowd or do you want to be a disciple? I want to be a disciple. I hope everyone watching wants to be a disciple. I believe most of you probably do. I pray that all of you do. Let's be disciples. Let's be followers. Let's be willing to step out in faith because we know the Master, because we know who He is, and that it's Him asking us to do this. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning that You sent Jesus to us, that He lived among us as one of us and was able to teach Your principles, was able to show Your love, was able to show Your way. Lord, was able to show us how to have faith, teach us how to have faith. We thank You for Your word this morning that gives us guidelines, that gives us a roadmap, that gives us direction. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, help us as individuals not to become the crowd. Help us not to worship You on one Sunday and then forget about You until the next Sunday or the next time we're in church. Help us to daily take time to worship You, to praise You with our lives. Help us to daily spend time in Your word, that we would know You better, that we would know Your direction. And then, Lord, help us to not listen to all the voices around us, not even listen to the voice in our own heads, but to listen to Your voice as You call us to go and do the things You're going to call us to do. Help us, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.